Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're currently listening to Spotlight with Najma 53, and you're tuning in to the Wednesday edition of American Muslim 360, and I also want you to be aware that this is a pre-recorded program, so I will not be taking live calls tonight, so what you're listening to is a pre-recorded program. So the topic tonight I'm going to be talking about and discussing is about injustice. So inshallah, I'm going to go ahead and go into a quick musical break right here. And who I'm about to play, he was my guest not too long ago, Amir Suleiman, and he has an amazing...
Stop the music.
At this point, I want to say this, and I'm going to say it at this point. I had it for later, but I'm going to say it right now. What we need in America as Muslims, we need what I asked our African-American brothers to give us, an intelligentsia. And I'm telling you, we can do wonders here in this country.
The hottest seat in the house on August 15 through 17, 2014 is in St. Louis, Missouri, the Show Me State, the National Town Hall for Mutual Consultation towards an intelligentsia open to all the believers. Males, females, imams, non-imams, youth, and seniors alike. Register now at eventbrite.com. Salatul Jummah, plenary sessions where you're the guest speaker. Authors in association with the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad's book signing. Panel discussions, brainstorming sessions, joint cooperation, collaboration, and an atmosphere of Shura Bainahum, a national town hall for mutual consultation towards an intelligentsia. A vision no longer deferred. Register now at eventbrite.com. For more information, call 910-317-0297 or email cwsconline@gmail.com or see us on Facebook at facebook.com/cwsconline. Hosted by the Community Watch Shura Conference. See you there. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. You've reached Live Talk Radio. I am your host for this evening, sitting in for Imam Qasim Ahmed. This is the Rational Inquiry program. First, I would like to begin with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to God, the cherisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all the systems of knowledge. And I would like to send the greetings of Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. It is a wonderful time. I've been saying this for the past few days since the beginning of Ramadan. That it is a wonderful time to be alive. It is a blessed time to be alive and to be experiencing another Ramadan. And I pray that everyone is having the same feeling. And what has really complemented and increased this feeling is what took place this past weekend at the 2014 Ramadan Conference and Youth Summit here in Houston, Texas. It was such a beautiful, joyous, information-filled, knowledge-sharing event. And my spirits are running on high. I should say extra high. My spirits are up in the clouds. I feel so blessed to have experienced the presentations and workshops and just the atmosphere of having the community, the believers under this particular roof at this particular time in this particular city. It caused so much elation and joy in me, and others felt the same way. And part of one of the things that made it such a beautiful situation was that the love of God the expression of having your service to God be shared with others during this blessed month of Ramadan caused a bonding of sorts, where if you didn't feel this spirit come over you, if you didn't feel that the angels were blessing, were showering their blessings upon the group that witnessed the young recitation take place by the youth. There was the Khalil Ahmed and Hadia Ali. They did both did beautiful recitations of the Quran. It was overwhelming to a point that was beautiful. You know, overwhelming that you wanted more of it, and alhamdulillah. So we're going to get into the show. I would like to thank Brother Thomas, Imam Marvin, for their assistance with getting the program back on track. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties, and we're getting started a little late. But alhamdulillah, Allah is the best Lord. You know, we plan and Allah plan, and Allah is the best of planners. So we're going to go ahead and try to navigate our way, inshallah, navigate our way through the program. And we will be taking calls from the listening audience, those out there who want to provide comments or have questions in regards to what we'll discuss this evening. But also to provide comments, I want to hear from you all about what your Ramadan has been like thus far, and if you attended the 2014 Ramadan session and Youth Summit in Houston, Texas, then please give a call in and share your experience with the listening audience. One of the points that was not to be missed from the conference is the need to develop leadership. And in planning the conference, one aspect that we really wanted to focus on was providing a platform, providing an avenue for young leadership, those up-and-coming leaders who have the desire to work within the community to help strengthen the excellent foundation that was built and established by our parent generation. You know, there are young leaders who are working in the community, and they have a commitment and they have a devotion to the service of God. So we want to provide a platform, provide an avenue for them to have an expression. And we know that whenever you are developing or leadership, or helping to cultivate leadership, that leadership has to have an expression, has to have a way of practicing. You know, it's like in Islam. You know, we say that we are practicing Muslims, that we practice. Everything has to have an opportunity to develop, and the development happens by a consistency, consistently doing the things that are necessary in order to build up the muscle, that when it comes time to use that muscle, then the strength and the development is there because you have worked it, you have exercised it, you have practiced it. You know, it reminds me of a famous statement that was made by a basketball player, you know, and he never reached the high levels within the sport. He never got to the ultimate, the pedestal of a champion. And at one time he was asked, because the coach was saying that, you know, he wasn't coming to practice. You know, he wasn't consistent with attending practice because he had raw talent, but that raw talent wasn't refined. So his response was, practice? You gonna talk to me about practice? Right, he was rejecting the idea that he needed to practice. And like I said before, that we consider, you know, if someone asks you, are you Muslim? Yes, I'm a practicing Muslim. Put that term practice to proceed to the idea of being Muslim, because we know that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that everyone is born Muslim. Everyone is born submitting to the will of God until the environment in which they place them, you know, makes them otherwise. But so everyone is Muslim. Everything is Muslim. Everything will, Allah says in the Quran, that come willingly or unwillingly. Everything is going to submit to the will of God. Muslim. Now, you're going to practice. Right? You're going to practice that. So, so back to what I was talking about, and that is providing this space, providing the environment, providing this arena for our young and up-and-coming leaders to practice, to hone their skills, to refine their skills, because this is what's going to be needed. We know that we have a limited lifespan, that we all have a destiny, that there is no human being that can say that I have been around for all eternity, or I've been around for 500 years or 300 years or whatever. You know, the maximum lifespan, they say, is 120 years. The point being is we all have a destiny. We know that our time will expire. And in order for the work to continue, the work of helping to helping to put humanity in the best shape with the help and guidance of Allah, the human being has to have a succession of people to come behind them to take on, to continue on the work, to have the baton passed to them. And that requires that those in the community who are devoted, who love God, who are devoted to providing an atmosphere, to building up an atmosphere where God is the priority, where God is giving all of the acknowledgments that the Creator of all the world deserves, that we have to have come behind us leaders who are willing to do the same thing. And that is to, once you establish a community, then you have to have people who are going to come and help sustain that community. And this is the necessity for developing leadership. This is the necessity for strengthening the bonds of families. Because where does leaders come from? Strong families. Strong families. Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, grant him the highest of paradise. He was talking about religion, and one of his talks referring to religion is about getting the guidance for the best future. And this was in a talk about the need to build our life up. And he was saying that this is what religion is about. Religion is all about getting the guidance that we need for the best future for our life, and that life is a life of respect, life of honor, a life of decency. We have to have that guidance. We have to have Allah be a priority, and Allah being the first thing that we put before we put anything else down on the table to get ready to focus on. It has to first be a focus on God. It has to first be a, because this is the first leader, the Quran. The Quran, the words of God, that's the first leader. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an example of what can happen when the Quran is embodied, when the Quran, when the words of God become so much a part of you, and becomes your guide through this life, that then what manifests itself from you when you have the Quran in you, when you have the words of God in you, is excellent leadership. And this was the example that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to was able to provide because he stayed true to the excellent nature in which God created him. He had the principles of the Quran. He displayed these principles of the Quran before it was revealed to him. And this is what qualified him to receive the final revelation from God. So he shows what can happen, how a leader can be compassionate, how a leader can be intelligent and wise and all these different types of things when they have the Quran as a guide, as a basis. And that you know, I'd be remiss to even forget to, if I didn't mention, that the theme of the 2014 Ramadan Conference and Youth Summit, the theme of it was striving for a Quranic-based community rooted in faith, growing in excellence. Striving for a Quranic-based community. And this is what all the communities around all the nations, the whole world, anytime you find Muslims, anytime you find a population of Muslims, they should be striving to build their community on the Quran, not build their community on some tyrant or some dictator or some warlord. You know, you'll see these things happening all across the world. You know, it's not even a community. You know, the communication is not one. It's not a unified communication. If you have a tyrant on top, you have this warlord on top, you have this oppressor on top, and they're sending the information down, this is what you do. No. Community life is a life where everyone within that community, this is the life, the community life that the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran wants us to establish. One where every life within this community has value. From the young to the old. From the male to the female. Right? As long as you are sincere and obedient to God, then your position or your place within the community should be one where you are contributing, or you are a contributing factor to the growth and development of that community. And, you know, a little bit more about my experience through this past Ramadan, because this was on display. This was on display at the Ramadan Conference and Youth Summit that was in Houston, Texas. We were able to witness youth, young adults, pioneers, the whole range, demographics of that youth summit, of the conference and workshops and the presentation. It comprised of the whole range of our community, right? And that was such a beautiful thing. It was beautiful. And so we want to see this happen more often. We want to see, there was one thing in particular that because I was one of the ones to help coordinate the conference, I didn't have an opportunity to see all of the presentations, but one that I did sit in on was the Pioneer Panel, where pioneers, were giving advice. There was questions allowed to be asked of them, of what are some of, based upon your experiences, what are some of the things that you would like to share with, you know, the community about the different trails that were blazed and the different the aspects of helping build up this excellent foundation that our community, the community of Imam Waruquddin Muhammad, who first established the tradition of the Ramadan conference, the Ramadan sessions, of gathering during the blessed month of Ramadan to share and exchange ideas based upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this built that pioneer panel, and it was some excellent questions that that were asked of the panel. There were excellent advice and knowledge sharing that the panel provided. And it was, you know, it was almost as if at times I felt like, you know, this was an expression, a unified expression. You know, sometimes you have, well, you have one group that's expressing, and another group, they have a totally different idea, and they're countering that expression. But this was a unified expression, because the expression coming from the pioneer panel and the expression coming from the audience, it was all one. It was a seamless, cohesive expression, and that made for the beautiful spirit that was in the atmosphere. So we're gonna go to a break, and then we're gonna come back, and inshallah we'll continue with our topic this evening, and we'll take some calls as well, inshallah.
حديث نمبر 20
عن أبي مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت رواه البخاري.
On the authority of Abu Mas'ud, Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari al-Badri, radiyallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, among that which people knew from the words of former prophecy is, when you feel no shame, then do whatever you wish. Narrated by al-Bukhari.
As-salamu alaykum. You are on the Rational Inquiry Radio. This is AM360 Blog Talk Radio, the Muslim radio, premier Muslim radio programming in the nation, in the country. You know, we're on the internet, and there are no more borders or boundaries. There are no more geographical landmarks that separate us. This is a global community now. We're in a global world, and alhamdulillah, you know, we're seeing man advance. We're seeing man take large leaps and long strides in technology, right? But we have to be careful. We have to be observant. We have to be watchful and make sure that the things that are happening that in this society, as was mentioned on the Pioneer panel, that technology is a wonderful thing. But sometimes you can get caught up, you can get lost. Our youth, our children, this is what we're referring to, that they spend a lot of time with technology. But we have to help ensure that they don't lose their way or they don't get caught up in the worldwide web of information by things out there that will try to pull them away from a moral life, from a life of God consciousness, and take them down an alleyway of corruption and immorality. So, so with that, we're going to take some calls right now. Bring some of the listeners in for any comments in regards to what we're discussing this evening. Area code 239. You're on live. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yeah, I'm Zoom. It's born Michigan. I'm wondering, I'm going to McDonald's later this afternoon. Are you guys going to blow it up, or what's going to go on there?
Okay, so we would have to go ahead and cut that person off because they were trying to go down a road or that was totally in the opposite direction of where we're going or where we're trying to go, you know, and we're fasting, you know. You know, it's and in this moment when you're fasting, if someone comes and tries to break your fast and take you away from your fast, you simply say, I'm fasting, right? You don't entertain. You don't allow them to distract you from your focus on managing your appetite, managing your emotions. The whole focus of this month of Ramadan is on the mercy and blessing and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the whole purpose. Allah says in the Quran that He has prescribed fasting to us as He prescribed to those who came before us so that we may learn self-restraint, that we may learn God-consciousness. That's a beautiful thing. And I was so excited in anticipating the fast of Ramadan that to come, and now that it's here, I stay full of joy every day. Every day that I can obey God and do what God has commanded me to do, it just puts me on another level, and we're going to keep it that way, inshallah. So we'll continue on. And before we continue on, I want to remind everyone about the Ramadan on the Gulf. Ramadan on the Gulf, 2014. That's coming up this weekend, July 11th through the 13th, 2014. This is going to take place in Mobile, Alabama. And the theme is the living language of the Quran, insights of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. The living language of the Quran, insights of Imam W.D. Muhammad. This Ramadan session is going to be hosted by the Mobile Masjid of Al-Islam. And it's going to begin with Friday Jummah at 1 p.m., and then the opening session is going to be at 6 p.m. And then on Saturday, there's a whole line of speakers. You know, this Ramadan session is going to have a youth summit component to it. And so it's going to have a lineup of young adults who are going to be addressing the youth and the young adults. And so we're encouraging everyone who lives in the area, even if you don't live in the area or the bordering states, Mississippi, Georgia, you know, even if you don't live, if you live in Hawaii, you know, and you have the resources and you have the capability, we're encouraging you to go to the Ramadan on the Gulf, 2014. A lineup of speakers includes Sister Anissa Dewan, who did a beautiful Quranic recitation this past weekend at the Ramadan conference in Houston, Texas. Beautiful recitation, as well as gave a very powerful workshop. Abdullah N. Muhammad, Imam Abdullah Rashid, who was the keynote speaker Friday at the Ramadan conference in Houston, Texas. We have Imam Keelan Farouk, Imam Tari El Amin, Imam Hanif Khalil, Imam Tia Ahmed. All are going to be presenting and doing interactive workshops at the Ramadan on the Gulf this coming up weekend, July 11th through the 13th. In Mobile, Alabama. As I said before, it's going to be hosted by the Mobile Masjid of Al-Islam. And so we're going to go ahead, and we have a call in the queue, and we're going to go ahead and go to the caller and see if they have any comments or questions in regards to what we've discussed thus far. Area code 314, go right ahead.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak to you, my brother, Mark Shahid, St. Louis.
Wa alaikum salam, Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah, brother. I appreciate all this good information that you've given, and I stand with you on not allowing anyone to break the peace of this fast, that while we are doing it and maintaining our focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm so elated about what Houston has done and what is about to happen in Mobile, Alabama, and I'm hoping that this, the tradition that Imam Waqi Muhammad has established, and also I have to commend in terms of not forgetting about our youth, the importance of our youth, this leadership that we oftentimes refer to as the future has become the present. And sometimes we forget. We continuously call our youth, youth, and they have become adults, young adults, if you will. You understand? And most certainly the future, you know, is becoming the present every day. And sometimes we miss the present in terms of gift in the present, because we're still seeing them as youth. And so I appreciate those who were thoughtfully put together the Houston Ramadan session and those who are doing it in Mobile, Alabama. And I hope that in the future that more include the youth and have something for the youth, because if they're going to be the leaders, then they have to be involved in that process as we are doing now. And one thing, last thing I want to ask you is there some type of number that can be called, because I wasn't able to be there, but I would love to be able to obtain, especially those youth sessions that they had, the information that was given there. So if you don't have it this week, inshallah, maybe next week to have that information, so that those who were not able to make it will be able to have access to it. Thank you, my brother. May Allah continue to bless you in the work that you're doing in the community. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa hi barakatuhu wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa Ramadan Mubarak. To answer the caller's question, and I want to also thank him for the wonderful expressions and words that he gave. May Allah continue to bless and reward all of us for working to the service to God. You can send an email to info@masterwdmohammed.com. That's info@masterwdmohammed.com with your inquiry on the receiving the recordings or videos from the session and your interest in obtaining those. And inshallah, someone will be getting back with you shortly. But do be mindful that we have over 55 hours of recordings and audio and video recordings, so it's going to take some time to pull all that together and to make it, put it into a package and something that we can deliver that will be of excellent quality. So we don't really want to rush it. We want to take our time to make sure that it's done correctly. But inshallah, once it's completed, we'll have it up on the website, www.masterwdmohammed.com, as well as the Facebook page announcing when that information will be ready for those who are seeking to acquire it. And, the focus on the youth. We have to, if we don't, then we're killing our own selves. If we don't focus on the youth and the young adults and make sure that we do all that we can do to help prepare them for the future, because the future that they're going to be facing, and we know there's nothing new under the sun, but the way that it's being presented right now, the way that this is a global world and the way that the flow of information has accelerated, our youth and our young adults are getting it, the negativity, the corruption, the devaluing of the human life, they're getting this at a rapid pace. It's almost like rapid fire. Like it's coming in from all angles. You know, and Imam Muhammad, when he said that we live in an oppressive word society, that the words and the communication that come to us is oppressing our soul, is oppressive to our intelligence, is oppressive to our the excellent nature in which God created us in. You know, that has really turned into the truth of the matter. It was true when he said it, but now with the way that technology has given those who have a corrupt mind, those who have the mind of Satan, you know, it's going to be a big challenge. So we have to properly, you know, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. We know that nothing happens but that it be the will of God. But God wants us to be responsible for our life. When Allah says in the Quran, O ye who believe, save yourselves and save your families. That is Allah bringing us or calling us to responsibility. So we have a responsibility to make sure that the challenges that are being presented, the challenges that some in the society are planning and plotting and putting together, that they have a strong agenda that they've put in place. For this ain't, this didn't happen like the last 10 years. They put this in place 30, 40 years ago, saying this is how we're going to get our agenda into the society. You know, a long way longer before that, you know. So we have a responsibility to save ourselves and our families. This is what Allah has commanded us to do. And we should take it very seriously. And so that's why when I say that when it's not just, you know, something of a, to make it sound good, that we put on there striving for a Quranic-based community rooted in faith, growing in excellence, that you put that on there because that's a nice tagline to have so you can come up on the top 10 results of the Google search. No, this is something serious. We have to have a community that is Quranic-based, that is based on the words of God, and that will be the protection. That will be the protection of the future generation. And so I do want to take another call, and I'm hoping this is not the same caller, 31307. Let's see. 307, you are on the Rational Inquiry. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
I have just recently converted to Islam about 3 months ago.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
And I have a question about Ramadan.
Yes, go ahead.
Are we allowed to take shits in Ramadan during the day, or do we have to hold it in all day? And
see, once again, you know, there must be a way that we can. Yep, that's it. There was a big X on there on the screen. There was a way to get rid of. There was a way to flush. Right? There was a way to flush the crap down the toilet and get rid of it. It's waste. It poses no benefit. You have to get rid of it. This is a sign from God. When there's waste, it poses no benefit to the body, then you have to flush it down the toilet and get rid of it. You have to get rid of it. And, you know, that is, but this speaks to what we're talking about. This speaks exactly to what we're talking about. Because there are those who don't want you to have your life. Don't want us to have our life. No. They want to be distractions. They want to distract us from from focusing on God. Want us to focus on what they put out. And it's not going to work. Right? We're a people of faith. We're God-loving people. We love beauty. We love respect. We love honor. We love devotion and commitment to the one who created us. That's who gets the attention, the one who created us. So I want to go back to we were stressing the necessity of developing leadership, good leadership. Imam Muhammad said in a talk, he said that if you identify in youth the attributes of leadership, then you should support and you should help cultivate and you should help nurture that. You should help nurture that and help bring it up in the womb. And you know, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to reverence the wombs that bore you, right? So we created a womb. You know, and this that Ramadan conference that just passed this weekend, alhamdulillah, that was a womb of mercy. That was a womb that allowed for everyone who was in there to have an expression, to have a vehicle for presenting ideas, all for the purpose of helping promote the best in the human being. So we have a caller with a question. We're going to go to the call because we're already deep into our topic, and I want to take some of these callers. I want to have some people share their Ramadan experience thus far. So we'll go ahead and go to area code 510.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Irma, Richmond, California. Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Irma, and Ramadan Mubarak. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, fine, thank Allah. I just wanted to say that was smooth answer.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
All right, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Ramadan Mubarak. Okay. So we want to go to the callers. We want to go to those who are sincere. If you love God, right? And person, they know who I'm talking about when I say if you love God. They know who I'm talking about. You know, because they may have something going on in their life. So we have mercy. We have mercy, you know, because people have challenges. You know, no one goes through this life unscathed and don't get wounded. You know, some are wounded more than others, but everyone receives some wound because the life itself is a challenge. Allah says in the Quran that He created man in toil and struggle, the human being in toil and struggle. And anytime you are in toil and struggle, you know, you might scrape a knee, you might, you know, bruise an arm or something. But that don't stop us. You know, you look at little kids. When I was growing up, you know, to have a bruised knee or a scraped elbow or a bump on the head, that was all part of the growing up experience. You know, fall off your bike, you get it. That didn't stop you. We ride around with blood rolling down our knee. That didn't stop us. So what am I saying? That there are people who are going through life wounded. They're damaged spiritually. And they don't have a way. They don't have a methodology to help heal themselves. And this is what Ramadan is. Ramadan is a restoration. Ramadan is a healing. Ramadan is a mercy. Ramadan, this, you know, we're not, when we're fasting, you know, and we're obeying what God has commanded us to do, it is a healing and is a benefit to us. It is helping to repair those things and these chinks in our armor that happens all throughout the year as we're going through the life and we're battling through all of these challenges that are this oppressive world society, this oppressive information that comes to us, all these things, he's putting chinks in our armor. But Ramadan comes to build that shield back up, right? It comes to build it up, because when you have the focus on God, when God is a priority, when you say, Allahu Akbar, you wake up in the morning, Allahu Akbar. When you go to sleep, Allahu Akbar. When we pray throughout the night, in the early parts of the morning, we pray. That is building up the God consciousness that we need in order to go through this life and meet the challenges head on. Alhamdulillah. So if any callers are in the queue, we have 15 minutes left. If there are any callers in the queue who want to share what their Ramadan has been like thus far, then please hold on. We're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back, and inshallah, we're going to take some comments from the callers that are in the queue.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join Famico Publishers in supporting AM360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Rational Inquiry. I'm your host, Elijah Salahuddin, sitting in for Imam Qasim Ahmed. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, AM360. And we want to say Ramadan Mubarak. You know, the first 10 days of Ramadan are mercy from God. So, inshallah, we pray that everyone is experiencing this mercy. Before we go on, I would like to once again remind everyone of the Ramadan on the Gulf 2014. That's going to be taking place this weekend, July 11th through the 13th, 2014. On Saturday, it's going to be at Spring Hill College in Mobile, Alabama. And it's, on Sunday, it's going to be at the Mobile Masjid of Al-Islam. The theme is The Living Language of the Quran, Insights of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And then the theme on Saturday program is going to be Interfaith Benefits of Fasting in Ramadan. The cost is just $50 for singles, $75 for couples, $25 for seniors 65 and older. And if you are a student, you get in free. For more information, please contact Imam Kamal Salim at 251-680-9190 or Imam Ronald Ali at 251-366-4870. There's more information that can be had if you contact those numbers. Ramadan on the Gulf 2014 is going to be very, very exciting. I can feel it. Inshallah, it's going to have a youth summit component to it, where the young adults will be presented to the youth and helping to share some knowledge with them on how they can navigate through this society and help strengthen their lives, help build up their lives in order that they may have a Quranic-based response to those things that come to challenge them and prepare themselves for leadership. So if you have youth out there, who are listening to me right now, believe me when I tell you that it is very, very beneficial and rewarding to have programs that focus on the youth, that have programs that focus on the young adults. They are our future. And we have so many young adults and youth coming up to us after the Houston, and parents as well, after the Ramadan conference that took place in Houston, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, thanking the conference for providing the atmosphere, providing the venue, providing the avenue for the youth and young adults to have an expression. It's much needed. We're going to have the Mobile Alabama Ramadan session. It's going to have presenters such as Sister Anissa Dewan, Abdullah N. Muhammad, Imam Abdullah Rashid, Imam Keelan Farouk, Imam Tari El Amin, Imam Hanif Khalil, and now everyone who's familiar with Camp Khalil, the premier Muslim youth camp here in America. It was started in part, started by Imam Hanif Khalil and his wife, Laina Khalil. That's Camp Khalil, which provides an atmosphere of expression, Quranic based programming to the youth who they go out on camp. They get away from all the technology and everything, and their whole focus is on how to build a nature based, a natural nature based relationship that is Quranic based. It's based on the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's all done in nature. That's why I say it's nature. They're out in the woods. They don't have no technology, no iPhone, no Android, no iPad, none of these types of situations. Everything is done in nature to help cultivate the natural, innate excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us all in. And as a matter of fact, I'm just going to throw this in there because Camp Khalil is going to begin, I believe, pretty soon. Immediately after Ramadan, the first weekend after Ramadan, is the summer program, Camp Khalil, and then the winter program will take place in Houston, Texas. So we have a short time left. I want to invite the callers to please, if you want to share what your Ramadan experience has been like thus far, then put yourself in the host queue, or should I say put yourself in the queue with the host, and I will definitely acknowledge you and bring you on so you can make some brief comments in regards to this blessed month of Ramadan, the month in which we have the opportunity to restore, if anything that was lost in the form of our spiritual gain that we gained from one Ramadan, right? And then you have 11 months of engagement with society, all different aspects of society, right? And you know, like you may go to work, you know, you going out, just going to any type of recreational activities. We know that there are things in the society that come at us from all different angles, right? And it's not conducive to the building up of our taqwa. It's not conducive to that. It's not going to help with that. In other words, this is going to be something that goes against that. So we fight it off, though. We're battling off. And during that, you know, we may, you know, like I said before, we get a little chink in our armor. We may get a little damage or whatever. But Ramadan comes to help restore that. And even if you didn't receive any hurt or you didn't receive any, you know, let's say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you to go through the time in between Ramadan where you didn't feel any battle scars. You didn't experience any battle scars. Then Ramadan is an opportunity to focus on God and strengthen the relationship and thank Him, be grateful for allowing you to have smooth sailing, for lack of a better term. And you know, I can say for myself that this Ramadan has been very, very, these first few days of Ramadan have been very, very beneficial to me. I've seen things a little bit more clear. I really have. I've been reading, doing my reading and things that I read, you know, before, then I'm reading now is as if I'm reading it for the first time, because now I have a certain amount of clarity that has come just in these first few days of Ramadan. So we know that that our life is going to change, right? And it should change. We should be constantly growing. We should be constantly developing. We should be constantly looking for ways and opportunities to evolve our understanding.
Assalamu alaikum. Elijah, excuse me for butting in. But can, before you go off, can you mention about the second phase of what happened this weekend in Houston that's going to take place in Mobile?
Okay, yes. Yes, you said the second phase?
Yeah, the program that's going to take place, the Ramadan session is going to be in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, yes. I apologize. Did I fail to mention it? Yes, I absolutely did, and I want to thank you, Imam Marvin, for reminding me. Let me see. It looks like my picture. Okay, yes, absolutely. We're going to have, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, because on Sunday of the program of the Ramadan on the Gulf 2014 session that will be taking place this coming up weekend, we have a list of speakers, of scholars of religion, leaders and scholars that are going to be speaking on Sunday. Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed from Florida, Imam Yahya Abdullah from DeSoto, Texas, Imam Muhammad Abdullah, Imam Abdul Aziz, all will be speaking on Sunday of the conference. We're going and we don't really grasp where we should be looking up ahead. We're not looking far up ahead. It's like driving. You know, they say you should, a certain amount of distance, you should look up ahead. And I wasn't looking further up ahead, but absolutely, that is the second component that's going to be taking place. Look, as I said before, if you are anywhere in the area, or even if you're not in the area, you can be in Canada, Timbuktu, and you have the resources to make it, then I would highly suggest and highly advise that you go to the Ramadan on the Gulf 2014. That's July 11th through the 13th, 2014. As I said before, Saturday, the programming will be at Spring Hill College in Mobile, Alabama. On Sunday, it's going to be at the Mobile Masjid of Al-Islam. The cost is only $50. That's it, $50. You know, I take my family out to eat and do a restaurant, and I've spent $50 even before the dessert comes. And $50 for a person, $75 for a couple, $25 for seniors, 65 and older, and students are free. For more information, you can contact Imam Kamal Saleem, 251-680-9190, or Imam Ronald Ali at 251-366-4870. This is going to be a very, inshallah, a very fantastic, engaging, interactive, dynamic, knowledge-sharing Ramadan conference on the Gulf. On Sunday, the speakers are going to be Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, Imam Yahya Abdullah, Imam Muhammad Abdullah, and Imam Abdul Aziz. They will be giving some dynamic presentations. They will be providing their insights on the Quran, all of it, with the commentary of Imam Waqfuddin Muhammad. This is going to be dynamic. Inshallah, everyone will be able to, who's on the call listening, will be able to attend. If you can attend, please don't forget to tell others about it who may want to attend. We don't want anyone to say, I didn't know about it, and I knew about it, right? So I don't want anybody to say after the fact that, yeah, I knew what was going on, but I failed to tell you. So we want to make sure that we share the information with those people who are around us, those people who are in our email address book or maybe on Facebook or maybe coworkers. We're going to tell everybody about it. Tell the shrimp boats and the fishermen on the Gulf, hey, come on the shore, you know, right? Jonah was spit out on the shore, and Imam Muhammad said that the shore represents logic. It's symbolic of logic. So come on to the shore this weekend, July 11th through the 13th, 2014, for the Ramadan on the Gulf. is sure to please. It's sure to be a wonderful program that will take place. And as I said before, I listed the speakers on Saturday numerous times. I'll list them again because I think my time is up. We're going to have Sister Anissa Dewan, Abdullah N. Muhammad, Imam Abdullah Rashid, Imam Keelan Farouk, Imam Tari El Amin, Imam Hanif Khalil, Imam Tia Ahmed, and I'm sorry, there's another name on it I can't really understand. It says Khalil, but the Sunday speakers will consist of Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, who does Juma in Houston. Whenever he's in Houston, I always look forward to Dr. Nasser coming to Houston. He comes to Houston once a month. Yeah, he has a practice there in Houston, and he does the Juma, and it's always fantastic. It's always a blessing to have him in Houston doing such a wonderful Juma. Imam Yahya Abdullah, who was in Houston this past weekend, who did an excellent presentation during the Ramadan conference and who sat on the Pioneer panel. Imam Muhammad Abdullah and Imam Abdul Aziz all will be the guest presenters on Sunday. So once again, I encourage everyone to attend the Ramadan on the Gulf 2014. For more information, please contact Imam Kamal Saleem at 251. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take one little pause, if I can, for everyone to go get a pen and paper so you can write down this information on who to contact for more information. And that contact is Imam Kamal Saleem at 251-680-9190 or Imam Ronald Ali at 251-366-4870. I think my time has expired, has come to an end. I do want to thank everyone for joining us this evening on the Rational Inquiry. We look forward to more talks and with everyone. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses everyone to have a wonderful, blessed Ramadan 2014. And I say that, and I end with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Mubarak.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit. Too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360, and this is the American Coalition for the Dumbin Report, and my name is Martha Muhammad. Today we're going to have a special treat for you, and that treat is going to be a talk of Imam W.D. Muhammad. As always, we like to play several times a year the Imam's address in Charlotte, North Carolina in 1997 that addressed the Coalition Good Government. So we pray Allah that you sit back and you listen, and this is this one of that particular talk by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Scripture. Hello? I can't even read scripture without doing what I'm doing. Maybe him. Maybe they think I should have a hymn book. And it's a hymn book and some bigger speech, and that's all. And let it stop right there. But we can't do that. Allah wants us to have also material life and a role in bringing about better material conditions for ourselves and for others on this earth. This is what God wants for us. He has created us so that we will grow. G-R-O-W. That's an Islam. This is an expression in Quran. He has created us so that we will grow. G-R-O-W. So if we get a good message, have a good school, and people, the town, public school system, those who have a fine school, but that's all we have, a fine school and a fine mom. And we become satisfied with that, Allah will withdraw from you. That's not enough growth. But Allah wants us to have responsibility on this earth. And He created the human being to have full responsibility under God for everything God created. That's why he didn't stop it. He didn't stay in the earth. The Bible says garden, and what we don't know what the learned knows in the high levels of Christian knowledge. We don't know what they know. So we take them and say garden, and he means that after death. And those that take it as a reference to this side, too, they think garden only means a good religious life on this earth. But the garden includes possibilities for man and faith also. In faith also. And God says, and it's traverse the skies, if you can. But for those who were trying to get they were trying to get a peep into the heavens, trying to get hearing from what's happening on high. So traverse the skies if you can. But you will not be able to do it without great knowledge and thought. But the things you do, gave you the answer. You want to do it? Get great knowledge and great thought. Right man got that great knowledge and thought. And he's getting into the womb. Some of you probably don't believe me, ain't there? Still got that rich man in your mind, on your head. Black magic and superstition. You don't think anything scientific can happen. But if somebody said they meditated in that day, yeah, I know it did. I was there this ain't to criticize anybody. This is just on our problem. We do have a problem. Even us that are healthy and think we don't have a problem, at least be a bit cautious, a bit concerned, because you're a product of the genes of those people. We have a lot of superstition in there. So we have to be aware that we're subject to be superstitious. We're subject to be out on policy. We're subject not to give our full faith to what Allah says is possible for us. But industrial life, God evolved the patterns of life. The patterns of life for any agricultural organ or plant is already in seed. The pattern for it is in seed. And when the seed gets the right environment, the seed will release that pattern. And then you see the whole picture that was locked up in that seed. And God says that he has created us as plants. Isn't it wonderful? And that's to tell us that all the possibilities for you for your life is not seen now. You're still a seed. You're a growing thing. But he wants you to have the full life that he created for you. So we have evolving patterns. We have evolving patterns of ability to have good moral life and to have good rational life. And when those patterns are evolved very highly, we see them manifest in a great academic development. You might call a tree of knowledge. And when the social pattern evolves to this fullness, you're going to see government, and you're going to see government officials. You're going to see, yes, we have the system of government in the United States of America and in other countries, they have that system. But they're all systems evolved upon the created life and the created pattern. That's why God says, this is the pattern of Fitra, which God formed man upon. The religion of Islam is the pattern of Fitra, which God formed man upon. We look at life and we see little children given to play. We look at the pet animals, the pets we have in our yard at home, and we see how those little young ones of the mother are given to play. And if we want to really study them, I'm studying them as a scientist would study them, to see what knowledge we can get out of the study of their plays that would help us have a better society for ourselves and for our children. We could do that. But folks have already written it. They've done it. It's already been done. God has put faith into life so that the young life will be getting training for adult life. The skills for work begin in faith. The little child is crawling around on the floor, interested in something, and find out that learning that he kicks it off the table or he makes it off the table, it makes noise. And it rolls, or it just stands still. Some rolls, some stand still. So the child is being educated on his plan, being trained. And then the child will have an urge to test the strength, and it will push another child. And after a while, they're fighting. They're fighting. But the fight didn't start as fight. The fight started as play. It was playing. And play turned into a fight. So the sense skills are learned. The beginning for the education for the sense is in play too. God has put it in play. Play, work, defense, and then competition. So in fighting each other, tumbling and wrestling, I've probably learned that we don't need to do this in this way. This is play. Let's wrestle. Let's box. Right? This is the thing. Why? To develop those skills. And also there's a desire to compete and show who is superior to the other. So God has made the life competitive. All of this comes into the adult skills world. And we call it this and that. But it's nothing but what God has put in the seed. And it has just had an environment of situations for coming out. And it comes out. And we see it as work, the work skills and everything, as defense, the army, and all the strategies and everything that they have. But all those things that manifest on a baby level, on a child level before. And competition. So are we going to be in America and not be contented? We're not going to care about the defense of the land? Well, what we're doing is cheating ourselves. If we think that short, we're cheating ourselves. We're not letting ourselves have the full life that Allah created for us. And God said that you should believe in God, have faith in God. And believe in his messenger. Have faith in his messenger. So we have a God that says to us, I want you to believe in God, and I also want you to believe in man. Now, how many of us would think that way? But that's exactly what he's saying. That I want you to believe in God, but I also want you to believe in man. Is Muhammad a man?
Yes.
And God makes it very clear. He says he's special on like you. He's a human mortal just like you. And say, and the doubters, they say, and it is said that a mortal has been made, a messenger of God. And they are astonished, they're surprised that the people are saying, a mortal has been made a messenger of God. Because in some myths, mortals are never messengers of God. Only super beings, supernatural beings are messengers of God. Angels, supernatural beings, not mortals. But they are astonished, they are amazed, because of the saying a mortal has been made the messenger of God, or a messenger of God. So we have to have faith in God, and we have to have faith in man. And Allah has faith in us. One of the names of God is Al-Mu'min, means the believer. If he's called the believer, what is he believing in? He's believing in us. He created us and then gave you a free will. We're subject to going from him on our own. You can go on your own. You're not under him. But I believe in you. I believe you're going to come back to me. I believe you're going to choose what I want for you over what the Satan suggests. So he's believing in us, isn't he? If you can digest this fully, you're going to be in a very powerful position to have a good life and a progressive life, a life of enrichment, growth, and productivity. That's it. Soft rain that comes out. It finds the right soul. Great life comes up behind it. Says, the prophet said, you will not leave. Enter the garden, pardon me. You will not enter the garden until you believe. And you will not believe until you practice loving one another. That brings us to love. So God wants us to have faith, belief, strong faith and belief. And if it begins with God, and if it progresses as God wants to progress, as God directs it, it's going to be strong faith for the prophet and be strong faith for each other. We have to come to have faith in each other. How are we going to work together if we don't believe in each other? And God says through Muhammad the prophet that he has prescribed for everything, excellence. It says, "Katabala ikhtiyara ala kulli shay." That means everything has been obligated to manifest excellence. Excellence. Now, if you look at the theory of evolution, you see the theory of evolution says that. That everything is evolving from lesser to greater, from crude to refined, from less proficient or efficient to more efficient. This is the nature of material, the material world. God says, catch the back. This is before these Western sciences, way before these other sciences. So you see how the perception was there before the world got it, before the world produced it, for our eyes to see, or gave it to us in the high schools, universities, or college, or whatever. The fact that I put the shape that he prescribed for everything, excellent. But if you understand it very perfectly, literally, God is saying that he obligated everything, that everything he made, he obligated it by virtue of the nature God gave it, the design that God gave the creation of that thing, its nature. It is obligated to manifest excellence. So no matter how inferior a creature is, if you look at that creature in the early stages of its development, it has grown more excellent. Is that not fact? The worm, fly, no matter what it is, everything has developed from less to greater, lesser to greater, more excellent. And God says, see, how? I'm going to wait because I want this take two and I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to keep the next order. Yes. God says, see how the same rain falls in the same area on the same area. Mm-hmm. But some things come up niggerly and others come up with a lot off, huh? Same rain. So this brings us to something else. We have to be selected. We have to be more selected. And we have to have more interest and more concern for our children that are coming, for our future as a community, than we have for each other individually. And we lend the burden of individuals keep us from making the progress we should be making for the future.
Goodbye.
When are you going to start weeding out the weeds? They say weed and feed, okay? Weed and feed. Not feed and weed. Weed and feed. Get the weeds out and then feed. So that's what we need to do. We need to drop a lot of burden. You all need to find the people that think like you think. You need to find live coals so that you keep your heat. And then work with people like that, you see? We can have real progress. And lastly, my dear brothers and friends in Islam, God wants us to have the same. God is a Rahman, and we are obligated to be like him. God is a Rahim. See, this, for us, this is being in the image of God. This is how, and God says, Halakhu, Yahlakullah. Create yourself. God said, create yourself. How many of us are doing that? We heard it, but how many of us are registered? God said, create yourself. Now, he created you, but then he says, create yourself. Halakhu, you create. With the creation tools, the building tools that he has given you. Create. With the building, with the tools of creation that he has given you. And he is a wrong man, and we are obligated to be like him. Benevolent. And God is a Rahim, compassionate, and we are obligated to be like him, compassionate. And you will not have faith until you practice loving one another. Thank you very much. So we ask Allah to guide us always and show us how to establish the light in its complete vision so we will have light and have it more abundantly. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum. But now is the time of a lot of us have a lot of questions. Yes, that's a lot of seminar. That's why I'm taking the water. I'm going to leave the water now. Okay.
One of the things that came up in our discussion today is how we can melt the concept of even working with politicians without them feeling as though they're trying to, for lack of a better term, cross over into their turf. Brother Man, what do you suggest on us how we can achieve that?
I'll just joke. I'm going to try to give you some help.
Well, the problem might be coming from the imam's perception of the religion, and the problem might be coming from the imam's perception of his role in the religion, and the problem might be coming from the imam's problems. And if they're coming from his problems, we can see. But if they're coming from his perception of the religion, our religion is comprehensive religion. And we can separate government concerns from religion. Government concern is one of the concerns that we must pick up as religious people. If we want to follow the religion, wants us to take up that concern. God created us for government. When God said to the angels, I'm about to put a khalifa, or I'm putting a khalifa in the earth, that's exactly what God is talking about. I'm making a man for government. I'm making a man to be responsible for government. until you have a worthwhile system of government, everything else is at risk. And everything else is going to be short-lived. Government is designed to create a situation for everything to have a place to be established and a life, longevity. That's what government is for. So that we can have the establishment we want and have longevity for the establishment we want, or for the establishment we want. So the man, if that's his problem, I can give him a lot of help. If he'll just listen, you know. The United States now, you know, the United States at one time, in its beginning, it had a big problem with government. Why? Because the people who came here, they came from a government or a system that dictated everything to them. And from a ruler who claimed divine power, divine authority. They were under the church authority. And Martin Luther that wrote that, right? And right after that, we had people coming to America having to discover his land. God did that for them, you know? God made it possible for them to sell that. They needed a place. They needed a new place to start all over again. And God helped them find that new place. It was America, where the Indians were. And the Indians, by Islamic law, would have lost their land. I'm not justifying what the way they were treated. They didn't treat them. Can't be justified. In fact, the great white Americans in this country, they regret that the Indians were treated the way they were treated. And right now, I'd like to see more happen for the Indians, more stuff to help the Indians, the Native American Indians. But by Islamic law, they would have lost their land. You have rights to the land for as long as you use it. If you neglect it, your rights can be taken from you. This is Islamic law. And it's arrived at with Quranic support. From Quranic support. That's where they arrived at. They look to see what the language in the Quran says about this situation. Then they make the translation or the interpretation or extract the message for this particular meaning for this particular new situation that's not given in Islam and apply it. So it really is Islamic law. That means it has its basis in Islam and in the teaching of Muhammad the Prophet. It is Islamic law that if you get a piece of land and you do nothing with it, you don't make it productive, it can be taken from you. And the government of America, they have it fixed that way. Taxes get deleted up, right? After a while, taxes eat it up. You lost it. Or they'll take it from someone else. But the usually taxes are what they get. Because you can't take it off. And there used to be a law in some of these towns, not down there yet, that if you don't care for your property, they will treat it as abandoned property and take it from you. Those are entitled to it. Yes. They came over here to America and they had an opportunity to build up this new life that their souls were hungering for. Life of freedom, life where they could have their life and under a law that would respect their will. The will of the people. And they got it. Now we're finding that President Clinton, he's just part of a trend. I would say he's a piece of material floating upon the stream that's going in that direction. The next one that comes in, he's going to come right upon the same stream. He's going to have to go in the same direction. And so they're beginning now. I'm thinking this thing out, and they're beginning now to address the separation of this language, the separation of church and state. What can the government do with the religious community and not be violating the separation of church and state? And to make it very short, the conclusion is this, that the government is separated from the state so that no one religion will impose itself on all the citizens of America, so that we will have freedom of religion. So the purpose of separation of state in this country is to protect freedom of religion. That's what it's for. It's not to say that the government is agnostic, not caring about religion. No, our faith in God, no, that's to the contrary. And before the leader is accepted, he has to acknowledge God. He has to hear the language and acknowledge God in his inauguration ceremony. Mm-hmm. So that tells us that there's no real separation, as some of us may think. And the position of government now is being recognized as not only a position for the protection of the freedom of religion, but also to support the interest of religion when that interest is in the interest of humanity. So that's why we have this new committee now on. They call it sometimes the President's Committee, but it's really the State Department's Committee. It's the State Department's Committee, but under the President, too. That's why we have that committee to work with government so that we bring our resources and put them on paying government resources so that we have a partnership for better serving the needs of humanity. That's exactly what is happening. So we should tell EMAM what our approach is here, share this with EMAM, and tell them that their church is too small to be considered in light of what a lot of us to be doing. The church is too small to be considered.
I think I saw Councilman Dean Chattanooga in here. He got something up around.
So, how do you want
to talk? I'm going to use my
chat.
In our involvement in politics, we have to work with people from all walks of life. Some we know like them, some we know don't like.
Yeah.
But we have to find a way to work with them to get some things done.
Yeah.
And I think that what I'm asking is that also apply to the membership of the Nation of Islam. If they want to work in that campaign, if they want to do some positive things in the neighborhood, should we shun working with them?
Yeah. Okay. A very good question. And it needs to be answered. Yes. You should have no reason for rejecting anybody unless it's a reason that could remedy be accepted or understood by Christians who that you're working with. Mm-hmm. They call it don't believe, but we believe that's not the reason. As long as they're willing to support the concern or the person that you're trying to elect or re-elect, as long as they're willing to support that person, and they're not presenting any problem that the Christians are seeing in the trouble time, I don't think you should be so either. I don't want to have to fix either. So,
is it very good to have a cat
Good morning, and we Billy Mann's going to bless us with the vision that he has for politics, for our political future.
Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to American Muslim 360. You have just heard part one of Imam W.D. Muhammad's address to the Coalition for Good Government in Charlotte in 1997, and we're going to play the second part now. So be patient with us. It should be coming on in a few minutes. And I pray a lot that everybody's enjoying the program. And it should be on in just a few seconds. You've been listening to American Muslim 360, and this has been the American Coalition Good Government Report. And you've been listening to Imam W.D. Muhammad's address to the Coalition Good Government in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the year of 1997. We want to thank you for listening, and we want to thank you for your support. Inshallah, we'll be with you next Tuesday at the same time. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.